The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1 with All Care Pharmacy. Expert advice to keep the whole family healthy at All Care, the largest Irish-owned pharmacy brand.
Now, I'm joined in studio by Jen Hogan, author of Surviving Parenthood and Mum of Seven. There was a time when being a mum of seven wasn't a huge thing in Ireland, but now it is.
Oh, now it's huge.
It's your calling card, mum of seven. Of course, you've written the book as well. So we're sort of, if you're secondary school, we're more than halfway through, but we still have 6 weeks to go before the children are back at school.
Yeah.
And I'd imagine, you know, the summer camps options have been exhausted. And so it comes to a point in the summer where it becomes more and more difficult to keep them entertained.
It does, yeah. And, you know, especially if we don't get the weather. Like, it's easy on days like today.
Yes.
Very easy, yeah, if you have good weather. But it is hard when you don't have the good weather. And summer camps-wise, we haven't... You know, actually, two of them are doing a camp all right this week. They're doing a performance camp and they're enjoying it. But except for that, there's nobody actually doing summer camps.
Okay.
We tend to opt out of summer because I like the freedom, to be perfectly honest. There's right. This kind of the restrictions.
But you've three... School. Just to remind people, you're seven from 3 to 18.
Yeah.
Noah's 3 and Chloe is 18.
Mm-hmm. So it's a wide age span, yeah. Big age span to kind of take into account. And even that, trying to do activities.
And you like the freedom of just...
I do, yeah, because the rest of the year it's like chaotic with lunchboxes and school runs and then the dreaded homework, you know, like work. I would take chaos any day over homework.
Right. So
I'm not in a hurry for them to go back. And yet at the same time, it is still a challenge trying to keep them occupied because, you know, you hear, I'm bored constantly, you know. It's a little bit different. I think these days we're kind of expected to entertain our children an awful lot more, kind to provide this constant activity for them, where obviously when we were growing up you were kind of told get out and play and, you know, you didn't come back in unless you need.
And a lot is made of that, Jen.
Yeah.
But we are, to use a political term, we are where we are.
Yeah.
And our children do require us to entertain them.
They do, yeah.
And you have seven of them.
Yeah.
So how do you do it?
So it's a bit of both, I suppose. It's a bit of me providing kind of activities or suggestion of activities and a bit of leaving them to their own devices. And I figure like there's seven of them. Like there's a load and there's enough of them to entertain.
Each other, yes.
There has to be some payback, you know. But I suppose I make a point of getting out of the house every single day. So it doesn't really matter what the weather's like, because otherwise we are all like in the house. So it just is kind of the best thing to do. So we would go out regardless. And if it's good weather, again, with the cost, when you've got seven kids, it's huge. So you're looking for the kind of the free and the cheap and the easy activities to keep them occupied. And if that sun is out, we're gone. It's a picnic off to the park, a stroll down on the beach. We're outdoors as much as possible. And the tablets and the electronics and the usual thing that you're having kind of a row about and that you kind of...
Are gone.
They're gone. Go, no, we take advantage when we, you know, when the sun shines. So that would be, I suppose, what would make up an awful lot of our summer holidays, literally outside, heading off to the parks. The parks are our friend when the sun shines. But when it's not, I suppose I'm very much about kind of maybe creating a little activity. And again, taking advantage of having older kids. It's great because, you know, they're, again, a bit of payback for having teens. Mine are all big into baking now. They didn't get that from their mother. Definitely didn't get that from their mother. But I mean, even something like fairy buns or chocolate biscuit cakes,
yeah,
things like that. And you know, I've got an 18-year-old and a 15-year-old who are quite happy, you know, to get involved and get stuck in with their younger siblings.
And did they do HE? Is that where it came from? Home economics? No.
I know, I could do fairy buns. I can stretch to that. Yeah. Chloe's much better than me at making things and she worked out the biscuit cake.
Right.
So it didn't even come from that. It literally came from, I suppose, watching me when they were younger doing things like fairy buns and everybody taking a turn to put an egg in, because we have to make a hell of a lot of them now with so many kids. So they all get their turns, or the butter or the sugar, and getting everybody kind of involved. And that takes up a lot of time when everybody has to have a turn of stirring the bowl. But there is kind of such pride, I suppose, in then having made things themselves. And then I suppose it's the usual going back to kind of basics, and if it's raining outside, you know, getting them involved in arts and crafts. We have a thing that we do, I suppose, that kind of reflects a bit on what I do, where we do the Hogan Times. So that's like, you know, based on kind of making our own newspaper.
Oh, right, okay.
And the kids, again, with the big age span, I would get the older kids maybe writing about something that we'd done that week, like heading to Cavan, like writing about what we had done. And they're doing that. And the younger kids can't write yet, or can't maybe write enough yet. They are drawing pictures, and that's our photograph. Then we have this little memory made. It also gives them something to do for the day, and you have always keener participants than others, you know. That's the nature of the beast, you know. When you have that many kids, you'll have some.
And you mentioned the technology already.
Yeah.
So that must be a constant challenge.
It is a
When you're indoors, yeah, to keep them off.
It is. It's a constant challenge and a constant battle. And actually, my handbag, which is out there, has two of the boys' tablets in it just to keep them off. And there are days I'm walking around with the Switch and the tablets and whatever else in my handbag to make sure they're not on them. Because
and do you have any security devices, you know, that no You know what I mean? Like you can have these things that switch off the internet at a certain time.
I suppose I've got teens as well. Yeah, so you know, you've got that difference, I think. So what we do is I do have very strict rules about technology. And during the school year, you see, it's not as much of a battle because it's just accepted. There's no technology, no tablets or iPads or anything like that during the week. But of course, in the summer, the rules change. Everything's a bit more flexible and you're kind of glad of them as well on the rainy days. You know, there's no point in being a martyr to the cause either. You know, they do give you a little bit of a break if they're going on them sometimes. But it's very much a certain amount of time allocation. But it's a battle. I don't think there's any house where it's not a battle. Even your sports loving kids, I've heard so many parents say that to me, the kids will still take the option of the electronics over getting out and kicking the football around. You know,
it's just a reality, isn't it?
It's just a reality where we are.
Another reality for you is that in 6 weeks' time, bar Chloe,
she's going to college.
Yeah. Expensive.
Yep.
Noah is probably in preschool, but you've
the other five boys are in school, college, and then the Montessori. Yes,
and the costs of that
are huge.
I mean, Connor Pope wrote about it the other day.
And I saw a lot of people kind of querying some of the costs that came out, wondering how on earth we could get to these kind of figures where you're talking €1,400 for a secondary school student and nearly €1,000 for a primary school student. And I can see it very easily how we can get to it because, well, we see these reports come out constantly and how much of a struggle it is for parents. And yet we don't seem to be finding a solution quickly enough. You know, we're still at a stage where crested uniforms are commonplace. Well, every single one of my children has a crested uniform, you know, and my kids are in.
So you can't go into Marks and Spencer's and buy.
You can't avail of the generic types. You know, you see all these special offers in the supermarkets and chain stores, and you can't take advantage of that because down to our polo shirt is even crested. So everything is much more expensive. And I mean, it's not that I have a problem with a crested uniform in theory. Like, I don't have a problem with the school displaying a crest. I understand, you know, the uniform.
Pride and all that.
They want to have. That's fine. But I can't understand why we can't have a little sew-on crest because the difference between a 2 euro or 4 euro jumper. And I mean, one of my kids' jumpers was 70 euro. 70 quid for a jumper. And you're talking again, you know, even when they get to the teenage years, a lot of them are the size of men and women, you know.
I don't understand. Do the schools benefit in any way, shape or form from that?
I don't know. I mean, I'm imagining not. Because I couldn't be sure. I can't understand why they won't make the move away from it because it's a common complaint every year. You have to go to the
You should,
shop.
Of all people, have a dispensation.
Just for
the number of children.
And the amount of jumpers lost every year then just to make
But on a serious note, you're saying you can't afford to go away this summer.
We're not going away, that's right, because of our back-to-school costs. And the biggest one for us this year, which I've written about and I've kind of taken quite a lot of exception to, is the iPad, speaking of technology. Because my son, who's starting secondary school this year, having just 2 years ago bought all the books that were needed for my son 2 years ahead of him, now is moving to use an iPad, you know, and that's going to immediately we have to fork out €1,000. Now that's before a uniform, after school activities, sportswear, stationery, shoes, anything else is bought. €1,000 for his iPad and his e-books.
It's funny because I don't know if you've noticed that ad on telly, Donegal O'Malley announcing free secondary school education.
Yes, I have. It's not really free at all. I mean, and that, I mean, the likes of the iPad, it's definitely not going to be passed on. And we're, at least with some of the books, there's some chance of you getting some money back if you bring them into to a second-hand bookstore and see if they'll exchange them against next year's books. Because I used to make the mistake of hanging on, going, they'll definitely do the next kid coming along. And of course, they didn't because the book changed. So that's a huge one for us. The cost of back to school is crippling, but we're not making moves.
The Department of Education they could take control of that situation, couldn't they?
If you even look at the voluntary contributions, and I know that's the sort of school one that the schools often get annoyed if I ever bring this up and whenever I have spoken about it before. And I feel like, you know, voluntary contributions, they don't feel very voluntary. There's a lot of pressure put on parents to pay them. And I understand why schools need them. They're underfunded. They're hugely underfunded. So the schools need this money, but it's time, I suppose, that the government kind of stepped up to the plate and start funding our schools adequately so that the parents aren't expected to take on even more of the load.
We've about a minute and a half. So Chloe went to Magaluf after her leaving cert. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't the better for that. I aged 10 years in a week, I swear. It was the most stressful week of my life as a parent. It was just something else.
And you have six more to go.
Six more to go.
And you've created a precedent.
Yeah, but I have time to work on a cunning plan to stop the rest of them. But you know, she promised all year, sworn she was going. I had literally put my fingers in my ears, didn't want to know, didn't want to hear about it. She went and she was so good. She kept in contact. She FaceTimed us a lot, even chatted with her brothers. But no, it was a hell of a week. I was so happy to see her home safe and sound. Dreading what next year might bring.
It never gets easier, Jen, does it?
Just, the challenges just change. No, but it's always hard.
Surviving Parenthood is the book by Jen Hogan, and you can read about Chloe's Magaluf experience. Well, your experience of Chloe's Magaluf experience in the Irish Times today. Jen, thank you very much.
Thanks, Ray.
That's it from us. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Sarah McInerney is on the way. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday evening.